Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the video conference of the release of results for the fourth quarter of 2021 of DASA. So that you can use up the simultaneous translation, it's available on the platform. To use it, just click on the button interpretation on with the globe icon on the bottom of your screen and choose your preferred language, Portuguese or English. We inform that this video conference is being recorded and will be made available on the IT site of the company, on the IR site of the company, in the area of results. I would like to remember that our considerations include also prospective declarations, which could differ substantially from those contemplated in these declarations and perspectives of the company. That means that these results may be significantly different, which are defined in the earnings released today in our financial reports. Among these files, any future declarations during this call are based on hypotheses starting on this date. We do not have no obligation to update this information as new information appears. During the presentation of the company, all of the participants will have their microphones turned off. We will now start the questions and answers section at the end. To participate, click on the Q&A icon on the bottom of your screen and leave your question. The solicitation to turn on your microphone will appear on the screen, and you can then open your mic to make questions. We'd like to ask you to make your questions just once. Thank you. Please do not repeat questions. And now we pass over to Anthony Campbell, Director of Investor Relations of DASA. Thank you very much. Welcome to everyone. We'll be starting our presentation from Pedro Bueno, followed by Felipe Guimarães, Financial Director. We also have with us General Director of Hospitals and Oncology, Sergio Ricardo Santos, Director of Strategy in SGA, and next to her, General Director of Products, Marketing, and Experience, and Carlos de Barros, General Director of Outpatient Care Diagnostics and Formation of Care. They will be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session right after the end of our presentation. I'd like to pass the microphone over to Pedro. Thank you, Andy. Good morning to everyone and welcome to our call, results call in the fourth quarter of 2021. We're now going to look at slide number 3. I would like to initiate our presentation reiterating our mission and our vision. DASA has been integrating a network of health network to be the health that the people want and that the world needs. In many aspects, 2021 was a year of transformation for us. We dealt with the biggest wave of COVID of the whole pandemic. We did our IPO, we launched our new brand, and we had a huge advance in our strategy. The execution was based on strengthening our core business, expanding our high growth initiatives, and growing exponentially in our digital platform, which was launched just 1 year ago and has already brought benefits of involvement with an increase in revenue, validating our thesis. Beyond that, it was a very busy year in acquisitions, with the acquisition of more than 1,500 beds and more than 5 diagnostics and oncology companies. We are specialized in integration, and we have built our playbook, which shows relevant gains in the assets, which are more advanced in our integration plan. That is not to say we had an easy year. We had many days of difficult discussions, decisions, and adjustments in the team, but the desire to integrate an integrated company and put the users first, as I can say for myself and all of the company, we're all very excited about everything that we did in 2021, and we've learned a lot, and we're ready to deliver in 2022 with a lot of excellence, growth, and profitability. Now looking at slide number 4, please. We're going to talk about 6 topics during our comments today. First, I'll speak about our highlights from 2021. with a summary of our consolidated results. After that, I'll talk about the development of our core business, the diagnostics, hospitals and diagnostics, and then tell you about our high growth initiatives with the coordination of care and of the companies. I'm going to talk about the development of the Navi, our digital platform. And then I'll pass it back over to Felipe to talk about our numbers and our balance sheet. Slide 5, please. Now to talk about the highlights and our conquests in 2021, I'd like to give attention to 4 points. First, 2021 was an excellent year for the development of our core business for diagnostics. We had a huge growth, an increase in revenue of 40% compared to 2020, and almost doubling our EBITDA during the year. In the diagnostics segment, in which we are market leaders, we were the company that most gained share during this year, the result of our excellence of execution with our focus on technology experience, and at the same time, increasing the satisfaction of users and guarantee higher levels of efficiency. This year, we went forward in several levers of growth with this objective, and we'll continue impacting positively our revenue and margins during 2022. In the hospital segment, we're focused on preparing the business to arrive at new levels of revenue and profitability. We started to implement the same playbook that we used in the diagnostics in 2015 when we started the turnaround of DASA. We focused on people and culture, definition of operational model, and using the best practices already existing in the different hospitals and creating support areas such as the command center, which supports the managers to maximize their assets with more profitability. In 2021, we almost doubled our number of beds through acquisitions and construction of a greenfield hospital. When we receive our pro forma revenue for these acquisitions, we're very close to a balance between hospitals and oncology on one side and outpatient care and diagnostics on the other. A very important advance in our ecosystem strategy. And finally, the two businesses continue to give the best experience to our users, which was reflected in the highest NPS in the history of the company, both in diagnostics as well as in hospitals. In diagnostics, we increased our NPS by 3 points compared to the fourth quarter of 2020, arriving at 77 points. In hospitals, we went up by 2 points, arriving at 71.3. Number two, in second place, I would like to point out that our high growth initiatives within the business unit of outpatient care, diagnostics and coordination of care. We increased the revenue from our companies, genomic companies, and we also grew by 80% in 2021. These opportunities reflect the power of our ecosystem to use data and involvement and engagement and capacity of navigation to supply new business fronts and accelerate these ramp ups. All of our businesses are created with the objective of integrating more fluid experiences for the users and at the same time, efficiency for the operators. We're very optimistic with the growth of these initiatives for 2022. Specifically in our business of coordinate care, we had a good behavior in contracts and performance, showing our expertise in management, healthcare management, and the use of data, as you'll see going forward. The third highlight of 21 was our advance in digital strategy. We relaunched Navi in April of 2021 as a new brand, which registered exponential growth in users, going from 125,000 to 1.8 million users in 2021. A platform of quality with the app got a 4.8 out of 5 rating, and these are important. The doctors who use Nav have an uplift in their revenue of 9% in relation to the control group when we look at the growth of these two groups. In telemedicine, one of the applications available in the Nav, the number of visits went up by 4 times in 2021. In fourth place, in 2021, we took an important step to create a culture and values which permeate the entire company. Looking at our 50,000 employees, we continue to advance in our desire to create a healthy environment. Looking at people and culture, as I mentioned previously, we invested in a new management team of for our hospitals, making 8 important hires for the rate for the levels of vice president and directors. We're well structured to empower our growth and a strong growth in profitability in 2022. Now go to slide number 6, please, to talk about our consolidated results. Since the beginning of the pandemic in the second quarter of 2020, our revenue has grown at a fast and consistent rate. In 2021, the gross revenue grew by 40%, representing a gain in share for DASA. Inside of our core, the two core businesses had a strong growth in 2021. In outpatient care and diagnostics and coordination, revenue grew by 39%, even with no contributions from acquisitions. It's also worth mentioning that our Alta, our premium brand, which grew by 60% its revenue during the year. In the oncology hospitals, where they grew by 81%, look at the resilience of our rate of occupation, which increased 8.4%, even though we had lost the COVID beds in the second half of the year. Our initiation for high growth had a spectacular year in terms of operational metrics. Home care coordination of care of the oncology companies already made an important contribution to our results in the year. Let's talk a little about each one of these business units going forward. Now we'll look at the next slide, please. In 2021, our EBITDA margin grew by more than 5 percentage points, a movement which has gained continuity in 2022. In the fourth quarter, there was an adverse impact of several impacts, which reduced momentarily our EBITDA margin to 12.4%. The temporary fall in margin was 8.5% when compared to the same quarter of the previous year, and is concentrated principally in the oncology hospitals and our administrative expenses. We observed in the fourth quarter as an atypical quarter, and the behavior of our business since December validated our diagnosis that the fourth quarter had a 4 strong one-off component. To explain the results of the fourth quarter, we point out the following important factors and their relevance for the reduction of 8.5 percentage points in margin during the year of the fourth quarter of 2020. We had a revolution in the revenue from COVID. In the beginning of the fourth quarter, it impacted our two business units, but principally hospitals and oncology. In October, this fall off in revenue was not compensated immediately by a recovery of elective surgeries. We had the return of patients with demands for these services. Without this revenue, and due to our strong fixed cost structure, we had a worse result than we expected with impact on our margins. This impact coincided with the seasonal effect that was higher in the fourth quarter of 21, when people naturally tend to mark less elective surgeries and periodic surgeries, in contrast with the previous year when the seasonality was inverted. It had a very strong in the fourth quarter of 2020 due to the pandemic. When we put these two factors together, the seasonality, this explained more than 2 percentage points in margin compared to last year. On the positive side, we operated quickly with our initiatives, revenue generating initiatives, and we saw a recovery in the second quarter of November. And this recovery has sustained itself during the first 2 months of this year. The second factor which impacted the fourth quarter was a growth in revenue from acquired hospitals. In the first moment, these revenues tend to have lower margins in relation to existing businesses, diminishing our profitability in the short term. We estimate that the effects of these integration of these assets with lower margin explains 1.7 percentage points of reduction in our margin compared to the fourth quarter of 20. Our playbook of integration has been delivering robust results in organic revenue and savings on materials and administrative expenses. As we advance in these different cohorts of hospitals acquired, we hope that these margins will converge to the same level as our mature hospitals. This tendency, which has already been confirmed in the first 2 months of 2022. The next factor which impacted our profitability was our business unit of hospitals and oncology, where we had an atypical expense in the purchase of materials. In the first case, after reevaluating our processes at the end of the year, we wrote down our stocks, especially for robotics, which is non-recurring and had no cash effect. In the second case, seeking to maximize the long-term returns, we finished two contracts with a specific suppliers, generating rescission expenses to migrate to other suppliers who have lower costs. While the impact of these costs did not have the same relevance as the other previously mentioned factors, the one-off impact of these explains another 1 percentage point of lost margin versus the fourth quarter of 2020. In fourth place, we made a decision to postpone from October of 21 until January of 22, a readjustment in prices together with some of our clients in exchange for commercial conditions which are more favorable, such as higher levels of readjustments and other procedures such as oncology. These were implemented and have already started to have a positive impact in the first quarter of 22. The impact of the postponement of these readjustments had an impact of approximately 1 percentage point in our margin when compared to the fourth quarter of 20. Finally, we took the decision at the end of the third quarter to maintain and in some cases accelerate our investments in technology innovation aimed at the strategy of the navigation platform. We are leaders in technology in the healthcare sector, and we are accelerating the ramp up of our digital platform and the interoperability of data through our business to grow even faster in the future. Part of this development is related to the acceleration of the construction of Navi, and also the acceleration of the digitalization of process with gains of efficiency. Beyond that, we decided to seniorize and increase our team of hospital management to advance with quality and profitability and the challenge of integrating, which we will see this year in 2022. These expenses had an impact of more than 2% of margin, of EBITDA margin when compared to the fourth quarter of 21. Because we decided to invest, and instead of anticipating gains of scale on our G&A, during 2022, we will capture part of these gains, which have already been identified, and will simplify our management structure. With the fourth quarter of 21 in the past, we started 2022 a great deal better, with results in January and February following our budget for the year, and with profitability closer to what we had in the first quarters of 21 prior to the fourth quarter. Even considering the impact of the integrated hospitals in the first quarter of 22. We're also optimistic with our results for this year, especially when we consider the huge increase in the number of surgeries in 2022 in the first months, and also the success of the integration of our hospitals, increase in prices with specific contracts, and a continued improvement of the development of our digital platform, among other factors already mapped out or under execution. Now I'd like you to move to slide 8, please. The hospital and oncology unit registered positive results for the year of 2021. With growth of net revenue of 42.8% and gross margin improvement, our rate of occupation has been very resilient and has maintained at 75% during the fourth quarter, even considering acquisitions of hospitals by COVID-19. In the first part of the year, this participation reached a level pre-COVID, pre-pandemic levels. In the fourth quarter, nonetheless, we observed the effects of a very weak October, with the smallest contribution to revenue related to COVID. And at the same time, due to the lower presence of people of other conditions, which is already underway. When we added these factors together with the higher cost of material due to an accounting write-downs in our stock and suppliers, we had a contract and a shrinking of the margin, gross margins compared to the previous year. This was also partly explained by the consolidation of the acquired assets and higher material costs. Looking at the future, we're optimistic with the perspective of this unit, business unit, and also with the reflection with a high level of knowledge of the hospital unit and also the health sector overall. Many times we have a 1 hour in the costs for 2022. For the consolidated results, our playbook is an instrument for the improvement of these things. Looking at the next slide, we're going to talk more about that on slide number 9. Our recent acquisitions are in a process of optimization and integration into the DASA ecosystem. As we mentioned in the last quarter, our playbook of M&A consists of 3 phases, which happen in parallel. They're not sequential, but they do have different maturities. In relation to the recently acquired assets, the Hospital of Bahia and San Domingos are executing phase 1, which consists in reinforcing the management team of the hospital when necessary, renegotiating contracts with the objective of reducing the prices from our suppliers in expenses, as well as standardizing the medical protocols. We had a gain of margins from 2 to 5% starting from that phase already in the first months of post-acquisition. LeForge already went through phase 1 and is already receiving some of the benefits of phase 2. We focus on procedures, more complex procedures, better clinical efficiency, and a playbook of IT. We see a gain of 5 to 7 percentage points in our margin for the hospitals during this phase, during the 12 to 18 months to mature 100%. In the case of LeForge, which was the biggest hospital we bought this year, we see concrete results of our initiatives. In the month of January, for instance, in spite of the inferior seasonality, the revenue of LeForge was already substantially above the average of the asset in the third quarter of 2021. It was right after DASA took over the control with a closing that happened in September. This increase of organic revenue added to the costs and expenses in the first phase resulted in more relevance and a better EBITDA margin for LeForge during the first 2 months of this year and should continue during all of 2022. As far as phase 3, we've already done a complete revision of any opportunities, brownfield opportunities, which are part of this stage for all of our hospitals and an hospital, a huge opportunity for expansions. This week, for instance, we inaugurate a new wing with an expansion of 100 beds in the San Domingos Hospital in San Marion, raising it from 370 to 470 beds in the total of that hospital. For the next years, we're also expecting an expansion in the Carmel Group in Rio with the addition of at least 85 beds, which represents a relevant increment of growth. In relation to the new hospital in the ABCD region in São Paulo, the brownfield opportunity is even bigger in terms of beds, 150 beds. The brownfield expansion usually offers a very attractive with a short period of a return. There's no question of regulatory questions, and you have the question of the fixed costs within the hospital structure. And then continuing our discussion of the core, we'll go to page 10 to talk about our other business unit. Our business unit of outpatient care, diagnostics, and coordination of care registered robust growth in gross revenue of 38% in 2021, signaling gains of share for DASA. In 2021, the gross margin increased well by 37.8% and exceeded the pre-COVID levels of 2019. In the fourth quarter of 21, the net revenue of this business unit registered a growth of 2.5% in spite of all the adverse factors which impacted it during that quarter. First of all, the revenue from COVID diminished, which this represented 15% of the business unit's revenue in 2020, while during the same period of 21, it represented only 6.8%. As I mentioned previously, October was an atypical month, different from the historical patterns, both in the COVID and non-COVID areas. The second was the postponement, a momentary postponement of certain contracts, as we mentioned, with adjustments changed from October to January. These readjustments have already been implemented and already positively impacting our results. At the same time, we observe an adverse seasonal effect in the last quarter of the year. While the fourth quarter of 2020 had an anomaly without the usual seasonal effects, but we now have a more challenging base for the fourth quarter of 2021. Within that context, we consider the increase in revenue positive when compared to the fourth quarter of 20, even though all of the factors in this sector impacted us strongly in October. Another point of revenue of reference is the increase of 38% in this business unit when compared to the fourth quarter of 2019, and a quarter that was pre-COVID, eliminating any distortions brought in 2020 during the pandemic. Looking forward, we're investing to make our leadership in the diagnostic market. We continue to invest in technology with the idea of perfecting the user experience. Just as an example, in 2021, our web check-in registry was officially launched, and it already added up more than 330,000 accesses, permitting the users to have a faster and more efficient attendance in our service center. This has generated a reduction in time for service and gains in productivity in these units. The increase in the number of services per person will translate into web check-ins, into a reduction in fixed costs for our units, and especially in the reception area, one of the principal costs of our units. Now let's go to slide 11 to look at the high growth initiatives. Looking in the same business unit, we had relevant results in our initiatives of high growth. These initiatives will continue to be a focus for DASE in 2022 in the measure that it diversifies our revenue, potentializes our gains of scale, and gives us improves our contact with patients. Just to speak briefly about our initiatives, DASE Empresas, our solutions for corporate clients, had a growth of more than 1 million lives in 2021. Our home collection unit has grown at an accelerated rate with a higher level of satisfaction from the clients. The revenue grew by 47% in 2021, and we still see an opportunity, a huge opportunity for this model of attendance. Our genetics unit, which is a leader in tests of this type, had growth of 87% or 86% in 2021. The coordination of care had important advances last year, beyond growing more than 42% in the number of users in the period we approved and in the question of managed portfolios. We brought a case study here of this business. To illustrate the potential that we see in this segment, we can cite a concrete example when we had with an individual portfolio. It's a very complicated portfolio to manage in 2021. We had a division of 25,000 lives involved in the coordination of DASA, all by volunteers. We took over this responsibility during the first 8 months, of which we have the information from the operator. We saw a reduction of 30% in claims for medical care compared to a control group of the same portfolio in the same period. Since this contract was based on performance, this value generated by our management was shared between the operator and DASA. However, more important, this case shows our expertise in healthcare management, engagement, and the use of data to generate the best possible experience for our users, as well as efficiency for the healthcare plan operators. With cases like this, it makes us even more interested in coordinating data with other portfolios even bigger for 2022. Next slide, please. In the fourth quarter, we had an inflection and an exponential inflection point for our, NAV, our digital platform. We had reached more than 1 million users in just one quarter. We went over the total number of users in the previous period, of the previous 9 months. The acceleration of new users corresponded in the same time when we observed an improvement in the evaluation of the experience by the user. In July of 21, the NAV was 3.705. In the fourth quarter of 21, NAV reached 4.7%, a very high score. With that, we confirmed our investments, which were done to improve the experience of our users. Beyond the patients, we saw a huge number of users, a huge jump in NAV Pro, our interface for doctors, with more than 10,600 different users just in the fourth quarter of 2021, compared to 2,400 in the third quarter. The increase in the number of medical users has been accompanied by an increase in revenue coming for these doctors, reflecting a higher level of engagement. We identified an uplift in the growth of revenue coming from the doctors that are connected of 9% when compared to a control group who were not connected during the same period. Considering the vast universe of doctors with whom we interact regularly, this is an important advance as we advance a growing number of doctors in our platform. And of course, we're going to... Once again, we will be focused on the engagement of the user and as the proposition, the value proposition continues to evolve. So in that case, the app NAV has become more and more important as a channel of connection between patients and doctor, improving the user experience and bringing more patients into the DASA ecosystem. And today, I will pass the word over to Felipe, who's going to speak about our M&A initiatives and our numbers. Slide 14, please, where we present an update on the initiatives, M&A initiatives. During the fourth quarter, we advanced even more in our ecosystem strategy within the principal markets. At the beginning of last year, Hospital de Bahia and Hospital San Domingos, totaling contributed to our results. This hospital presents a significant advance of the company in the strengthening of our position in the market in Salvador, and at the same time, impulse our navigation strategy in the Northeast. San Domingos Hospital complements our laboratory operations in Maranhão with strong financial gains. It exercised impact in 2021, but will contribute in the first semester of 2022. Beyond that, we concluded the acquisitions of Hospital Paraná in the first part of 22 without impacting the impacts of fourth quarter 21. We consolidated all of the acquisitions of hospitals and oncology services announced in 2021. We are now looking at slide 15. We will comment on our financial results. In 2021, we had a growth of gross revenue of 39.5%, pushed by strong growth in both business units. The adjusted EBITDA doubled in relation to 2020. The results in 2021 included the acquisitions acquired from each acquisition. And during 2021, if we had been consolidated in the whole year, instead of less, a part of a year, would have contributed another 270 million of EBITDA. And so instead of 1.7 reported. So if we look at, these are pro forma numbers, we can't look at all the synergies since these assets are now becoming part of the DASA ecosystem. Looking at slide 16, we'll talk about our debt, our cash position. We closed the fourth quarter with a net debt of 2x EBITDA, a reflection of our balance sheet and our financial position. When we consider the reported EBITDA, including non-recurring expenses, our level of leverage goes to 3.2. Even though we made payments in different acquisitions in Bahia and San Domingos, our cash position during the fourth quarter of 21 increased due to the issuance of $2 billion in debentures, which extended the profile of our debt. We registered $3.6 billion in cash equivalents. At the closing of 2021, we closed the emission of $2 billion in commercial paper. It gives us more flexibility attending to our needs and our obligations in the execution of our investment plans for the year. The continuity of seeking opportunities in the sector. We believe the company is well positioned in organic and inorganic and generate value for our business. We'll now begin the question and answer question period. If you have any questions, to make a question, to participate, just click on the Q&A button on the bottom of your screen and send your question. We will open your microphone so you can make your question live. And the first question comes from Pedro Oliveira, a sell-side analyst from BTG Pactual. Pedro, we're going to open your microphone so you can speak, so you can make your question. Pedro, please go ahead. Thank you for taking my question. From our side, we have two questions. The first is in relation to CapEx. We observed an important volume in the fourth quarter. We wanted to understand if that will comes from any pent-up demand from 2021, which all wound up was held back due to the pandemic, or what was the principal motive of this large CapEx volume in that quarter? And what should we expect for 2022 if nominally we will continue with this high CapEx? And the second question is related to the strategy of tickets in the hospital vertical. We had a fall off in this semester, and the M&As had an important impact. We wanted to understand what's your strategy to adopt, if it's the increase of complexity in these assets which have been acquired, or if we should expect a ramp up over the next years, or if some of them, in fact, will have a ticket which is structurally lower. Thank you. You're on mute. I'm sorry, he's on mute. We can't hear him. He's on mute. He's on mute. I'm sorry, but the speaker, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. I was speaking alone here. My microphone was turned off. Thank you for the question, Pedro. I'm gonna take the CapEx and then I'm gonna pass over to Emerson, who's gonna talk about the hospital's average tickets. Going directly to the point, we don't expect to maintain this level of CapEx for 2022. 2022, we see a level a little bit below the accumulated of 2021. Very focused on the area of technology and on the part of navigation and security, information security, and also in brownfield operations in our hospitals. In this fourth quarter, we had a consolidation with the investment, the acceleration of the navigation due to our initiatives. And we've seen very good results as we've accelerated these. And also because we've made a strong investment in information security in relation to IT, and some hospitals and medical equipment. Pedro, as far as the average ticket of the hospitals, there are two effects here. The first, we have the entrance of the acquired companies in the fourth quarter, pressuring us downward pressure. And we've had our stock when they've done at a better, higher level than DASA at the beginning of the year. And also the impact of COVID. We had COVID, strong COVID previously in the fourth quarter, it fell off. And so less COVID and low complexity COVID. So the Omicron spent only 2 days in the hospital when we saw in the second wave, in the second and third wave, we saw more than 10 days average hospital stay. So the impact of COVID was relevant in the acquired cost hospitals. Nothing structural about our business. Thank you. Next question comes from Gustavo Nieli, sell-side analyst from Goldman Sachs. We'll open your audio so you can go ahead and make your question. Gustavo, go ahead. Go ahead. Hi, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Two quick questions from our side. First is in relation to their conversations with the payers. We think that in relation to Lefortu, you're in the stage of adding more complexity since you've been integrated, but how are your conversations with the payers to line up once you may go into more microservices? And also on the same subject, if you expect that the transactions that we have seen with SulAmérica could impact your relationship with other payers, if they have sought to talk with you about trying to strengthen your commercial relationship with them. The second question is about Salvador. What do you expect in the competitive environment for 2022? We saw relevant movements there from other players in the sector in that city. You're making an interesting move of verticalization in oncology after the acquisition of Clinic AMA. Do you think that the verticalization of oncology could be good for you and bring some competitive advantages in that city? Those two points, relationship with payers and the dynamic in Salvador. Thank you. Okay, Gustavo, thank you for your questions. I'm going to start off with the first part and then I'll pass it to Emerson to talk about Salvador. The relationship with the payers, I would say, is very positive. Everything that we've been building in DASA is in the sense of bringing a better value proposition for the patient as well as for the operators, the payers, in relation to costs in the individual portfolios. Our hospitals, even though we've been gaining complexity and average ticket, we've invested a lot in clinical efficiency. So when an operator compares the average ticket for a certain complexity in our hospital with a competitor, many times we have the benefit of total cost, not just as necessarily in price, but in total cost, because we use medical protocols for clinical efficiency. And as the second part of your question, you commented about the merger that recently happened, and this it generates a goodwill for the other payers. So we're opening conversations with several other payers about increasing the partnership registries so that we can have benefits, reciprocal benefits, reduction of costs for the payers, and growth of volume and of revenue for DASA. In the specific case of Lefortu, I would say, as I mentioned at the opening, we saw an important growth of revenue in Lefortu from January when compared to the average month of the third quarter, even though in spite of that seasonality, which plays against, but it didn't involve any readjustment in price. It was just bringing more better medical teams, reforms in the surgical centers, bringing more complexity to the hospital. And so there's still the upside of the readjustment, which will happen now this year. And in 2022, we have the expectation of in the consolidated of DASA, the two business units, to be able to pass through inflation with the payers. I'm going to pass it over to Emerson to talk about the situation in Salvador. As you mentioned, Salvador has a competitive scenario, which is challenging, but we have a big opportunity there. The interaction between AMA and the other hospital in Bahia was very low. So today we have the migration of the surgical teams from AMO, who were in other hospitals in Salvador, migrating to our hospital in Bahia. Beyond that, we also have a migration of small procedures were done in the day hospital
and in other hospitals of the competition, which are now migrating to our operation. Since oncology is a specialty which is very relevant in our business, it's part of our strategy, and in Salvador specifically, due to the potential and the size that it has, this is without a doubt a strategic lever. Beyond that, we have the Image Clinic in Salvador, and Nulay, which is the best operator in Salvador, completing our DASA ecosystem. So we have the same tools and capture and navigation of patients who make a precocious diagnosis of cancer in Salvador for AMO, and then for the hospital of Bahia. It's one of the assets in-house which you're using to ramp up more quickly the hospital, the Bahia hospital, the hospital of the Bahia. Thank you, Pedro and Emerson, for your answers. Next question. Come from Carlos, sell-side analyst from Condor Inside. We're opening your microphone so you can go ahead and make your question. Go ahead. Carlos, go ahead. Good afternoon to everyone. I have three questions to ask. First, for 2022, what will be your investment in CapEx on the maintenance and openings of the current units? Second question, with the new level of interest rates and inflation, should we expect a 22 more complicated by getting the maximum synergies from the acquired hospitals, acquired units, or are you open for new opportunities? And three, do you plan to utilize the resources in cash to pay debts that will come due in 2022, about 28% of the total debt, or will you be opening new lines of financing to lengthen this horizon? And if so, what will be the rates on the new negotiations? Thank you very much. Thank you for your question. Carlos, starting with the CapEx, as I commented, our CapEx for 22 will be focused on two fronts: the technology to support our expansion and our strategy, as well as in the area of information security, and in the brownfield, hospital brownfield area, with these items being acquired. In relation to your second question, the focus of this year is in fact to integrate the assets that we acquired during 2021, even though we believe there are still opportunities to continue consolidating, perhaps at a lower level than what we did in 2021, but we still have a year of new acquisitions where these things will occur. And finally, your question about cash, we're going to continue to roll these debts over. Recently, we just did $4 billion of new borrowings in the last 5 months at the average cost of CDI plus 1.5, which helps us to an increase in the duration of our debts and the horizon of our debts. Okay, thank you. Next question from Fred Mendes, sell-side analyst of Bank of America. Fred, go ahead. We're opening your microphone to make your questions. Fred, you can now start. I have two important questions from my side. First is, if you could explain a little bit in the call that probably is, if I was to rank the principal objectives, this is a year in which we can expect something like more relevant revenue. If this is not the moment to think about NPS and other metrics, this will be the first. And the second, in the area of diagnostics, as you mentioned, the representatives of COVID in the first quarter, there'll be some positive COVID effects, but after that, would be close to zero. So what can you expect for 22? This, that even without this so-called benefit of the COVID patients, we can think about a margin expansion for the whole year. Thank you very much. Andre? Good afternoon. In relation to NAV, we're going to have three principal focuses this year. The first is to improve the NPS. We already have an important score, but we wanted to increase all the services of NAVI. The second, it is better engagement. We've been working strongly on the engagement of users and with the with the idea of generating revenue from each per-written navigation, an important revenue, as Pedro mentioned in his presentation. We also observe 9 percentage points of improvement for doctors who are involved in the NAVI program. The object is to generate more doctors and more users on the platform, and therefore more transaction and more services. And finally, to continue increasing our, we see an increase in the first 2 months of the clinical, in the number of these clinical operations. Thank you, Fred. This is a good question. We're being very consistent and not to take off too fast. We want to gain experience and knowledge from our use. Any platform that you look at, it took 5 years to be built. So we've gained a huge number of hours at the end. If you look at the first number from the first quarter, it's much higher than in the closing of last year. But also less important to gain users and revenue, but to gain revenue and confidence. And obviously, we can monetize this in parallel, but this ramp up of the monetization will only happen in the third and fourth year. I'll pass it over to Carlinhos. Thank you, Fred, for the question. Speaking a little bit about the business of 2022, what do we think is going to continue to happen? First of all, as you mentioned, the revenue from COVID, yes, heads towards zero. It's what we hope we all want this pandemic to end. What we have seen in the first quarter of this year, and with January and February due to the Omicron, there was a small peak. But now in March, this has already fallen off strongly. And what we expect for the rest of the year is the continuity of what we saw in 2021, which is to continue gaining share. When we look at the full year of 21, and we compare with the principal competitors and the information that we have about the health market in 2021, we expect to continue gaining share in 2022. Some things supporting us and being the reasons for this continue to happen. First, the effects of the fourth quarter have been reverted. We've already seen a first quarter much stronger. Secondly, our initiatives, the high growth initiatives, continue at a very accelerated rate. Both Alta and home collection and company businesses, all of this continued to in the first semester. And all this combined with the digitalization of the service, the reduction of time of 25%, arriving at even 50% in some cases, and some people waiting in front of the receptionist. The principal levers we have for 2022 give us a lot of confidence in the area of 2022. We're going to continue to grow and taking share. Very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. Pedro and Carlinhos, thank you very much. Next question comes from Vinicius Figueiredo, sell-side analyst from Itaú BBA. Vinicius, we're opening your audio. Please go ahead and make your question. Go ahead.
Boa tarde a todos, pessoal.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Minha pergunta.
for taking my question. My first question is in relation to the low stocks, which you have principally seen. I wanted to understand, was it just a certain operation that you acquired recently,
or was it a something in your operation organically? Tem mais uma pergunta
also, da linha de Martinelli.
Vocês já estão percebendo já um ambiente de melhor negociação com fornecedores em
2022? And if I can make one more, complementing the first question of our colleague,
receitas vindas de COVID perdendo um pouquinho a representatividade, COVID, mas queria entender assim, na parte de ajustes de custos, imagino que por mais que a gente tenha uma queda na parte de casos de COVID, a gente ainda deve ter protocolos mais exigentes dentro dos hospitais. O que vocês imaginam do phase-out dessa linha de custos olhando para 2022? Obrigado.
Of these items for 2022, these cost items for 2022. All right, Vinicius, thank you. Basically, it was in an organic operation, the process of lowering the robotics, where we made a revision of our analysis of our processes, and we hope that this won't happen again. In relation to the negotiation world, it's been very difficult. The negotiations are very tough, but we have a much bigger scale, which gives us an advantage, especially when we're looking for oncology medications, etc. And together with that, we have an internal movement for standardization of our protocols to concentrate volumes in those medications and to be able to gain scale and gain power, negotiation power. And finally, you talked about COVID, the costs of COVID. In this sense, I think that we've seen, look at it positively, both in consumption as well as in price. The principal costs related to COVID are related to people, whether they're in the hospitals or in their units, and related to APIs. Both are reducing quite a bit. Today we have spaces, small and more spaces dedicated to COVID, which diminishes the numbers of people dedicated to that. And also the EPIs, which have been reduced that cost, especially in the area of costs, masks, gowns, gloves have prices that are much less inflated than they were in previous periods. So this curve is going down. And in the first, we just did a new bid, which also came in with a newly reduced price.
Perfeito, super claro.
Very well, obrigado, very clear. Thank you very much. Next question comes from Ricardo, the sell-side analyst of Safra. Okay, we're opening up your microphone so you can make your question. Go ahead. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is just a clarification about the write-down, the accounting write-down. If you could quantify a bit of, because it covers several lines, but if there's a way for us to look at that in a more normalized way of cost, that would help. And the second question is in relation to the increment that you mentioned of the medical revenue. It was a good opening. Can you clarify about the levers and how these differentials are, how it affected the performance of the doctors who are in the platform, the NAV platform, who are more engaged? And so what is bringing this performance? Of course, it's the platform to be able to have this, but also within the platform, what are the principal levers that have been have raised the performance of the doctors, increased the performance of the doctors? As far as the pieces, I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to pass to Andrea. We estimated 26 million reais in my impact during the quarter. Olá, Ricardo. The southern margin on the platform is just to exactly due to the convenience which it offers for the professionals through the Navi Pro, which is the version for professionals of the Navi. So he has access to all of the results of the laboratory exams and images, as well as clinical insights, which help in the care of his patients. So we've already been observing this, as well as other services, convenient services, ease and access to our medical assistance. And with that, we observe an increase in the utilization of the services and a gain of share in for DASA. Thank you. If you could also mention a little bit, if you've noticed any of these points pushing the growth of the others, such as the ecosystem, where you have more doctors involved, you have more users and more patients. Today, do you see one of these pushing this growth more than another? Or are you still in initial stage where this type of analysis, network effect, is not yet appearing in a more significant way? Our objective is the network effect. Today we observe this uplift of 9 points in a smaller growth in our other patients as well. So we measure both ends, but it's more towards the professionals because of the number of services and accesses that we have made available to the professionals, to the medical professionals, for the patients. But looking at the roadmap of this year, is we're looking at several clinical insights and services, conveniences, and also which have already been tested and which are now, by digitalizing them, it'll be faster, easier to scale them up for the these services for our patients. Thank you very much. Our section's question and answer is now closing. And I'm going to pass the microphone over to Pedro Bueno for the final considerations. Pedro, please go ahead. Thank you. So thank you very much for the participation. We're here satisfied with the numerous structural advances that we made in 2021. Of course, the fourth quarter was differently than we hoped. But as you see, it's all mapped out. It's the one-offs will no longer. The first quarter is coming very much stronger in line with our budget. So we're very excited about the construction here of 2022. And you have our commitment and our dedication focused on the execution this year to be able to increase this profitability, expanding our high growth initiatives, and continue expanding the Navi, our platform. If you have any more questions, our team is at your service. Thank you all very much.